But by way of presentation, and we preach about that here in a little bit, but by way of presentation, how many people here understood her in Spanish? Do we have Spanish speakers here? Okay. The vast majority did not understand her because of a language barrier.
Right.
You know, I go into the prison, so not only do we have the wall barriers, the wire, yeah, razor wire, but also you know that there's a sin barrier. Before a person gets born again into the family of God, there's that sin barrier.
Yes,
that only gospel truth and the word of God, the only word of God is the only thing that can pierce that man's heart. But also there's a language barrier. Well, I thank God about a year ago, while we were reaching the Hispanics in our local community, Brother Gravely, after a Sunday morning service, and I didn't know how much the perfect will of God this was, but he come up to me, Brother Gravely's on the board of directors at Rock of Ages, and Dr. Terry Ellis, the president of Rock of Ages, a member of our church. So they knew among the missionaries that had been going out in the various Rock of Ages revivals. They had seen them faces, them Hispanics there, and the Hispanics are all over all the prisons and jails. And they were unreached, all because of a language barrier.
Right.
And so, Brother Gravely approached me. He said, Brother John, it seemed like while I was up there, the Lord nudged me to go up to you immediately after service and to tell you and to mention once again about that need there is at Rock of Ages. I wanted to be in the perfect will of God. I didn't know if that's a Macedonian call or what. But God does use individuals, and God used directing people's lives through individuals. So I took it to Lord in prayer between church services. And it was there in between church services Sunday afternoon when I was up in Sunday school room praying, saying, God, if this your will, I want to know your will. The Lord directed me over to Zechariah 4:6, where the angel Lord told Zechariah to tell Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts.
Amen.
And I'm glad that a year ago, the Lord called us into Rock of Ages.
Amen.
I never even thought about Rock of Ages. That's on the church planting side.
Right.
And it was there. And immediately after, Dr. Ellis came up to me and mentioned, just very getting started, about there's a jail ministry there in my county, Whitfield County. I'm from Dalton, Georgia. Dalton, Georgia in Whitfield County has 95,000 Hispanics, 65%. I don't know how many y'all have here in Kentucky. I'm not know, but in my county right there in Dalton, Georgia, 65% are Hispanic due to the flooring there. And Lord immediately blessed. Well, that's been a year ago. We started deputation about a year ago. We went full-time a month after that. And then we've been about 100 churches since then, and y'all be praying for us. Please pray, whenever y'all leave tonight, stop at our display. Pick up a prayer card. You also helping together by prayer for us. Brethren, pray for us.
Amen.
I agree along with Apostle Paul.
That's right.
So we started deputation a year ago. Y'all be praying for us. Along about this time next year when we reach 70%. We'll be selling our house in North Georgia, and we're going to move out to Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Amen.
Let me give you the statistics here. Unreached Spanish-speaking inmate souls. Arizona, 39%, which is a total of 20,280 of all the inmates are Hispanic. New Mexico, 62%, which is a total of 8,090 of the inmates are Hispanic. Texas, 33%, which is 98,670 of the inmates are Hispanic. That brings us to a total of 127,040 Hispanics inmates in that area. To put that in perspective, that's equivalent to 1,271 churches of a 100-member congregation.
Wow.
Behind bars, being unreached. Because I just watched on YouTube a video the other day of a warden that she was giving her little YouTube video. And she made mention of them forgotten people. Because we pass by the jails, we pass by the prisons, and we look, or I used to look and say, I didn't give a whole lot of thought to them people that were behind their walls. I mean, they were on the south side of town. I wanted them to stay away from the north side of town. They were on the south side of the tracks. I wanted them to stay, and I wanted to be here in the north side of the tracks. Didn't give much thought to them, but those are little cities, literally cities within themselves. Prisons. I know that, I mean, y'all going to prisons, y'all going to jails around here, but I said y'all be praying for us. Pray for us. We take the gospel to them in the Spanish language in the southwestern U.S. They come to us from 20 different nations, thinking they're going to get rich, make a better life for themselves. But you know what sin will do? Take you farther than you ever intended it to go. Cost you more than you ever expected to pay, and keep you longer than you ever intended to stay. So they end up behind bars in the jails and the prisons because they have not had the truth.
Yep.
Come to us full of the Catholic or doctrine, all the different nations, and expecting they have to earn their way to heaven, not even caring about God, just caring about that one thing. Dinero.
Yep.
That money.
Right.
Not caring about God. They end up behind the prison bars. And I'll pray for us as we take the gospel to them.
Amen.
Now, about my salvation, I've already told it, my salvation testimony. I've already told it, and I was recollecting with a few members here. I thank God that on November 29th, 1981, Faith Baptist Church, or some of the people here, I mean, I know Sister Ruth, I was talking to, I remember Sister Ruth from way back. And as a nine-year-old boy, there's some of those that were here when Brother Hall was pastor. Matter of fact, this afternoon I took my family by the Methodist Church right there in Island, Sacramento Island, Kentucky, and took them by the Methodist Church that my mom took us to. She was the Sunday school teacher. She was the vacation Bible school teacher. But I remember asking her when I was about 8 years old, Mom, how does a person know they're going to heaven? And all she could tell me was, well, if your good outweighs your bad. But my grandparents invited my mom and dad to a revival service at Faith Baptist Church, Rumson, Kentucky. Little white church, wooden floors, wooden pews, outhouse for a restroom. That was Brother Gary Hall. First church plant before he went to Tabernacle in Greenville, South Carolina. And I can remember it like it was yesterday. And Brother Hall's told this story, if anybody's ever heard it, and I can bear witness the fact that it was true. My grandparents, my granddad, prayed for my dad. My dad, we had beer in the refrigerator, had an afro, chain smoker, cusser, did not want God. And my grandparents stayed at him, but he kept on rejecting it. But I remember my granddad, I wasn't there, but I remember that sad night whenever we got the phone call. But my granddad prayed for my dad in the prayer room or walking up the aisle of the church, fell over dead with a heart attack. And that was what got my dad and my mom, and we first started attending there. We attended there for about a month into attending. My mom got saved.
Amen.
During them times, God was placing me under Holy Ghost conviction.
Amen.
But as a nine-year-old boy, I listened to what Satan had to tell me. Don't go forward. They're going to think you're so evil, so wicked. And don't go forward. Keep on putting it off. I thank God for that. The Holy Ghost kept on convicting my heart, even as a nine-year-old boy. I can remember like it was yesterday.
Yeah.
And kept on convicting me. And I remember that morning service, November 29th, 1981. That Sunday morning service, on the fourth verse of Just As I Am, that was Brother Hall's first church. We sung just as I am. I'm talking about we really drew it out. We took all the verses. And that fourth verse of just as I am when I was a nine-year-old boy on the left-hand side of that church, middle ways up, when I finally in repentance said, in repentance in my heart, I said, devil, I ain't going to listen to you. And I said, told God in my heart, God, I want you more than anything.
Amen.
Took a step forward. In my case, that's how it worked with me. Took a step forward and repentance toward God, faith in Jesus Christ. I took a step forward and I got born again.
Amen.
Right there.
Right.
Now, Brother Hall read the verses with me, but I was already born again. I mean, I was crying so much out of relief and the burden and guilt of sin was gone that I can't even half remember what he read. But I got born again into the family of God. My dad got saved same Sunday morning service, and I was telling somebody, you know that saying, when you got in? When my family got in, they got in, okay? And a drastic about face change. I mean, it was a drastic change. I won't go into any of the rest of that. We'll get here into the message. But my dad got called to preach a year and a half later. He went to Tabernacle, and we went to Indian Reservation out in South Dakota. Then they went to Mexico. From Mexico, from the Indian Reservation at 19 years old, I went down to Resaca, Georgia to go to Bible College. And then later on, we worked with the Hispanics. But God's been good to me.
Amen.
And he's been good in my life.
Amen.
Tonight, we're going to look at an encounter with Jesus will change everything.
Amen.
I know what it done in my life.
Right.
Changed me when the Holy Ghost come and he took up residence in my life. Have I been perfect since then? No. But now he's done his work of reproving me since then.
Right.
And he's done his work of shining a light upon the scriptures and being patient with me. But the Holy Ghost has done his work in my life. But the encounter with Jesus will change everything. Yes, this is going to be a missions message.
Amen.
I go and preach at churches, and sometimes it ain't a mission message.
Right.
But after this recent stuff with Israel and all, it just seems like I think we just need to get busy and get busy about the Lord's work and in missionary work. So you can turn your Bible to Luke chapter number 5. An encounter with Jesus will change everything. Encounter with Jesus will change everything.
Amen.
Now, while we're on deputation, I go into prisons regular because I'm getting hands-on training. We've had lots of Rock of Ages training. And then I average at least one, sometimes four times a month in prison before we get out to New Mexico so I can get hands-on training, keep a fresh burden. And it wasn't but out of prison, just a little, maybe a month past, I was in prison. And this man approached me. And before the service in the chapel, he approached me. And he is telling me this story, this testimony. He goes, you know, whenever I get out, he goes, I'm going to be getting out of here soon. And it seems like the Lord has spoken to me that his direct mission for me is to go back to my family and to friends and to tell them what great things God had done for me while here in prison. And immediately I thought, to the next passage of scripture we're going to go to, Mark chapter 5, I thought of the maniac of Gadara. And I took him over before chapel service. I took him over to the Mark chapter 5, speaking about that maniac of Gadara, where he wanted to stay with Jesus. And Jesus, the maniac, became the missionary. And Jesus told him, go back to your family and to your friends.
That's right.
And tell them, what great things God had done for you and has had compassion on you.
Amen.
And I relayed that story to that man. And God just settled down right there in the chapel with us. And God moved in and he immediately, real quickly, went and told pew to pew what God had revealed to him strongly out of that maniac of Gadara.
Amen.
You know, an encounter with Jesus will change everything. Let's look at Luke chapter number 5. We all have a story. And God can use the story of our life to reveal his compassion and his power to change a life.
Amen.
Each and every one of us, if you've been born again, you have a testimony.
Right.
And it's a testimony. It's a story that God wants to use.
Right.
Right here, you're a local church in Massillon, Kentucky. There are local churches all over America. There were local churches that were established back in the New Testament days.
Right.
Local communities, because you can't be everywhere at once. You can't meet everybody.
Right.
You can't influence everybody. I know that in nowadays in this social media stuff, and they're wanting to influence everybody. But God has particular people. God has a particular place that He wants you to worship at.
Right.
He has particular people that He wants you to influence.
Amen.
So we're going to be looking at that. We're going to be looking at two distinct stories here. Luke chapter number 5. We're going to look at the story of Matthew the publican. The publican that became a preacher. Matthew the publican. You know the story of Levi, the story of Matthew, how that he was hated. He was one of them despised publicans.
Yep.
How he was scorned and ridiculed. Now, we don't know his past story, but what made him decide to go against his own countrymen and yoke up and do the job of the Romans, we don't know.
Right.
But we don't really care about his past. What we know about Matthew is how he became a writer of the gospel.
Amen.
Instead of writing taxes, he became a writer of the gospel.
Amen.
Luke chapter number 5, verse 27. After these things, he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, follow me. And he left all, rose up, and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house. And there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with them. But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, why do ye eat and drink with publicans and sinners? Jesus answering said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance.
Amen.
Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost.
That's right. Thank God.
Jesus, the great healer. Jesus, the great savior. Jesus, the great deliverer, came to seek and to save that which was lost.
That's right.
He came to give salvation. He came for sinners. You and I were sinners.
Right.
You and I were rebels against God.
Right.
Don't put a halo upon your head. If you've heard the gospel preached and you've rejected that gospel, at any point in time, that's a sign that you was a rebel. He came to heal those that are sin sick. You know, the Bible says in John 10:10, the thief cometh not, but for to steal, to kill, and destroy.
Amen.
I am come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. This world is full of sin sick folk.
Yep.
This world is full of wrecked lives. This world is full of rebels. The Bible says here, you can turn to it in Ephesians chapter number 2, verse number 1. Talking about rebels. So Paul, the apostle, here in chapter number 2, writing to the church of Ephesus. Talking about rebels. Rebels.
Yes, sir.
And you hath he quickened, made alive, who were dead in trespasses and in sins. Wherein in times past ye walked, he openly admitted, he talking to the church there, how that in times past they walked according to the course of this world,
right,
doing what the world wanted, talking like the world,
right,
acting like the Lord, world, following the world's philosophy, ignoring God, not listening to God, course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. You all know who that is. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, following Satan, listen to his voice,
right,
listen to his counsel.
Yep.
I remember as a 9-year-old boy, for 3 months, I put off salvation. Because the devil would tell me, you don't need to go forward. You don't need to go forward. But thank God that day I did. And even since then, I'm glad that he may have delivered me from the penalty of sin. But you and I know that after salvation, there's sanctification when he delivered us from the power of sin. So there's that pull. The flesh lusts against the spirit, the spirit against the flesh. There's that pull. Satan, his devils, will sow seeds of doubt, sow seeds of fear, discouragement. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom we also had our conversation, that's our lifestyle, in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved.
Amen.
So we're emphasizing that point of rebels. Rebels willingly and knowingly forsaking God and not listening to God.
Matthew,
we have here the story of Matthew the publican. And God, by his grace and compassion, instead of ignoring Matthew, he by his grace called him.
Amen.
And said, follow me.
Right.
And Matthew left all, rose up, and followed him.
Right.
We see the power of a changed life of a publican that became a preacher.
Amen.
Now let's open our Bible to Mark chapter number 5, that testimony I was given a while ago. Mark chapter number 5. Now let's look at the story of the maniac of Gadara. That devil-possessed wild man. The town terror. That poor, wretched, homeless soul.
Yep.
I was in prison revival just 2 weeks ago in Pensacola, Florida. My friend, my coordinator friend, Tim Martin, he took me to the homeless camp there. And literally, I seen no less than 400 homeless in one single place. Drug addiction, addiction to booze, whatever it is. The addictions of this life has wrecked and ruined. The flesh has wrecked and ruined their lives. Just like this maniac here, the poor, wretched, homeless soul. That outcast from society. This abused man. Let's read about it here in Mark chapter number 5. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. Put yourself in this story. Put yourself in the story of this man. Don't let it just be some story that you read from the Word of God. This was an actual event that took place.
Amen.
The tombs, a graveyard.
Yep.
A man that came out of the graveyard. Keep that in your mind. Who had his dwelling among the tombs. And no man could bind him. No, not with chains. So they evidently tried to make him a more productive man in society. Who knows if the psychiatrist, psychologist of that day, or the educators of that day, maybe they had tried to do their work upon him. Because we do know that that man at one time had friends.
Right.
And we do know in the other gospel that that man at one time had family. He has a family. Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying. Crying with despair. Crying with hopelessness. Crying with utter hopelessness and cutting himself with stones. So we have this naked man, bloody man. So just like some of the young folk today, cutting themselves,
yep.
harming himself, abusing himself,
yep.
cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him and cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." For he said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Skip to verse 14. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. Thank God for verse 15 that we all love. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. And when he was coming to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, "Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee." And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And all men did marvel. You know, that maniac, he didn't look like of much use. But you know, God looked at him and thought, "I can get a lot of glory out of him."
Yep.
My wife was singing that song. "Lord, help me to look with your eyes. Help me to feel with your heart."
Amen.
God looks upon the heart. Man may look upon the outward appearance, but God looks upon the heart.
Yes,
man may look at their current situation. God sees what they can become.
Amen.
So often you and I, we look at people, we talk about them forgotten people behind prison bars. It's because that's what we're doing. We're forgetting about them because we are looking at their current state.
Right.
And what they've done and how they are.
Right.
But you know, those are dead men. Dead spiritually.
Right.
They don't have the Holy Ghost of God that can sanctify them through the work of the Word of God and the sanctification of the Holy Spirit and His job that He has the power to do in a person's life. We look upon them as their current, but God sees what they can become.
Amen.
God stopped by that booth there in He told Matthew, the publican, the despised man, to come. He became a writer of the gospel.
Amen.
That publican became a preacher. That maniac became a missionary.
Amen.
That man, because you know what God knew? God knew that that maniac was the perfect person that could reach his family and his friends. As I was mentioned here at the beginning of it all, we have local churches. And the reason why we have local churches, reason why God called you and saved you and given you a mission, because God has people that He wants you to reach. People that you can reach better than what other people could reach. We all have a divine purpose. We all have a divine calling. That commission was given to the church, that each and every one of us, as that ministry of reconciliation. And as we have our ministry, and as we preach Christ crucified, as we live out the crucified life, each and every one of us have a divine purpose of God, and that is to reach those that are immediately around us in our community. In our community. God doesn't look at where you are now. He looks and sees what you will be in the future. You and I must under the power of God, have faith in him to do the work. Let's turn our Bibles right now to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. The reason why the majority of individuals are not reaching their local community, their local town, their local neighbors, their own household is they doubt the power of God to work through them. 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. I remember when I got called into the prison ministry. I never even thought about the prison ministry, never even given a thought, but I just was so wanting to follow God's will, so wanting to be used of him. I remember being in the woods praying. I thinking, God, help me. What am I going to preach to them inmates? Well, God took me right here. He took me right here to 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. Told me exactly what I needed to preach.
Amen.
He took his great big spiritual highlighter and he just highlighted that verse in my mind out there in the woods. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power
Amen.
Of God. Let's turn our Bible to Romans chapter number 1.
Amen.
So there's a verse. I just read it and quoted it to you. That's a verse that you could be your rock. That's a verse that could be your anchor. That's a verse that you can stand on. So just like Peter, whenever he said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. He waited for Jesus' response, and Jesus said, come. Whenever he heard that response, he knew that because of the invitation, the command, the direction, the will of God, after having heard it, he stepped out on that water in bold, radical faith.
Amen.
And you know the story. He began walking, but when he seen the sea and the winds, and when he looked around instead of keeping his thoughts, and when he looked, instead of following the direction of God, he looked at his present reality.
Right.
So you and I can stand on that verse. Let's look at another verse that we can stand on. Romans chapter number 1, verse number 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God
Amen.
Unto salvation. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Did not say that your words are the power. Did not say that even your preaching is not the power. It said that the gospel of Christ, the preaching of the cross of Christ, the Bible gives us that assurance that we can stand on, that we can walk on water, so to speak, on. It gave us that clear direction. It gave me that clear direction in the woods that I had the message that will work. The preaching of the cross will work. It worked for me when I got born again into the family of God. It worked for you when you got born again into the family of God.
Amen.
It'll still work and it will always keep on working.
Amen. Amen.
Turn our Bible to Hebrews chapter number 4. A lot of people just ain't fulfilling their local ministry in the church of witnessing and witnessing to their family and to their friends because of that seed of doubt that Satan has placed into people's hearts and to say they think about their own effectiveness.
Right.
Well, the preaching of the cross. Let's look at Hebrews chapter number 4. You know where I'm going. Verse number 12. Verse number 12. This is another word, verse that God had me stand on. For the word of God is quick, that's alive, is living, and powerful. Powerful has power. That the Holy Ghost power has got the power of God, creation power, resurrection power. It's got all that behind it. It's effective and is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even dividing asunder the soul and the spirit and joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. God showed me that whenever I go preach to that prayer, so them hearts that are so hardened by sin, so hardened, and people that have literally followed the desires of the flesh and of the mind to the point where they're behind the prison walls. Or they listen to the voice of the spirit of the air so much to the fact that some are just full of devils. But I know, I stand on, I believe on. You say, you go into them prisons. Well, I'm not much. I don't have no testimony of having been out in this world, or I ain't got none of all that.
Right.
Thank God for them prison evangelists that do, because they can be effective through that method. But I go in there with full confidence, because God showed me that in full confidence. God, you told me that your word of God, that your word is quick and powerful and sharper, that it can penetrate any man's heart, the heart that believes. It can and it will penetrate a wicked man's heart. Isaiah 55. Let's go to Isaiah 55. You know where I'm going with this. But it is words. It is verses that you and I need to memorize and we need to stand on. It'll give us confidence in that day of doubt. It will give us confidence in that day if we go boldly proclaiming his name, realizing that it's not our words. If we go with the sword of the Spirit, if we go full of God with the sword of the Spirit, proclaiming his word, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, preaching Christ crucified, it will get the job done because we have the assurance of God in it getting done. Okay, Isaiah 55, verse number 10. God said, for as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. The assurance of God right there, that his word, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, you and I were.
Right.
Born again by his word. Right. So that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Amen.
So you and I can boldly proclaim and walk and go with full assurance. Is every man going to hear it? No. But you and I know that we go with the holy word of God, the living word of God. This word right here that we carry is living. It's incorruptible seed. It's living. And if we just go proclaim it, it will germinate and bring forth fruit in a lost sinner's heart as we proclaim his word. An encounter with Jesus will change everything. Do you know somebody? Do you know somebody that you've been praying for? Go with full assurance. Go to them once again, proclaiming that word, giving them the gospel. I don't know what to say. Tell them God died for them.
Amen.
According to the scriptures.
Yes, sir.
Amen. They rose again the third day according to the scriptures.
Amen.
That God's alive.
Yes, sir.
God does not want them to go to hell. And God can give them life.
Amen.
And not only life, but an abundant life. I like it when Jesus said that, amen.
Amen.
Come that you might not have life and that you might have it more abundantly. That's what I love preaching to the preachers, to the prisoners. God will not only give you life, but he'll give you abundant life. That's a life that's more than enough. That's a life that'll satisfy. The beer did not satisfy. The whiskey, the liquor did not satisfy. The women did not satisfy. The money did not satisfy. You get your lust, flesh, wanting more and more and more till you end up behind bars. But God can give you a life that's more than enough, a life that's abundant, a life that satisfies. A life that satisfies. God has a place for you.
Amen.
He has a place for you.
Right.
He has people that only you can reach.
That's right.
Only you.
Yep.
We all have a story. That publican can become a preacher. That maniac can become a missionary. There is no heart too hard. There's nobody too far gone that God's word cannot penetrate, you and I must go and tell the story of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And we need to be about it. You and I need to be about it before it's too late.
Yes, sir.
God's strength is perfected and revealed through your weakness and your ability. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. We must reveal to others what God has done. Not only what God has done, what he is currently doing in your life, and what he's going to do in the future. Your testimony, your personal own testimony, is what people need to hear. That is God's divine purpose. That's the reason behind local churches. That's the reason why your testimony in the services is so important. We need each other, and the world needs you. Your friends need you. You personally might be the only one that can influence their lives, because they see you. They see it, you, in real life.
Amen.
All right, thank you, brother.
I appreciate the preaching of the Word of God. Amen. Right down the line, right to us. Matter of fact, nobody can dodge what's been shot at us tonight. He's talking to me and you. He's not talking to the Bible college graduate. He's talking to the person saved by the grace of God that knows the gospel. Amen. He's not talking to somebody that's already surrendered to go to a mission field. He's talking about all of us that are in the mission field. We're living in this world. He's talking to us about being a witness and a worker for God. Boy, I appreciate that. And having the confidence. That's what we've got to get back to. Not confidence in myself. It's not self-confidence. It's Savior confidence. Scripture confidence. That God's Word will accomplish what he sent it to do. Amen. Again, not that everybody's going to hear it, but nobody's going to hear it if we don't tell it. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God that spoke to my heart, reminded me again of my great responsibility and what a great opportunity. And Lord, the fact that we have the very Word of God, we have the power to still pierce the darkness of this world. We have the power, even in these last days, this wicked day that we're living in, we have the power of God unto salvation. That's the gospel. Help us, dear God, to share it with others. And Lord, I pray, use this family and you get glory. Bless the invitation time according to your will. If there's somebody here not saved, Lord, I pray, pierce their darkness. Draw them to Christ in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing as we sing. If the Lord spoke to you, would you mind the Lord? 161. Let's sing that together. Do business with the Lord. Amen. Calling for you and for me. Watching for you, for me. Come home. Ye who are weary. Amen. Calling, O sinner, come home. Verse number 2. Jesus is calling for you and for me. Amen. Pleading. Tenderly, Jesus is calling. Oh, sinner. Let's do one more verse. Verse number 3. Well, that's right. Moments are passing. Time's flying by. Now's the time. Now's the time. Today's the day. Still calling. I'm glad he's still calling the sinners. I'm glad he's still calling preachers. Amen. Still calling for us to be a witness in this world. Thank you, Brother Proctor. Appreciate that. Amen. Appreciate his testimony. Amen. I can relate to that. I got saved a little bit early. I'm a little older than you are. I got saved in 74. It'll be 50 years next month. I got saved, well, in June, 52 months. I was 8 years old. When I got saved. I was thinking about when I grew up there in North Carolina. When I was 17, you could buy beer and liquor at 18. Just before I turned 18, they raised it to 21. It didn't hurt my feelings. I didn't have a drive to go get it. I didn't have a desire to go get it. Right? And some people do. Some people, as soon as they get their check, they're going to go get the beer. Like, it's what he's preaching about. Right, it's because that's what's in them. But God had already done a change in me. Amen. I didn't have to go through that. And you don't, by the way. You don't have to go through that. And if you are going through that, he can deliver you, just like he talked about that Gadarene demoniac. That's a blessing. Amen. I believe old Levi or Matthew, as we are more familiar with him, probably was a pretty clean-living fella, other than the fact that, like he said, it is amazing how that he sold out his own people to be a tax collector. Joshua and I have talked about, I wonder if his soul winning partner was Simon Zelotes. That was another one of their disciples, if you remember. That meant he was a zealot. It meant he hated anybody that sold out his people. God, Jesus picked a man that was just so pro-Israel, and he picked another man that was pro-Roman. Put them side by side, serving God. Because they found out it wasn't being a Jew, it wasn't being a Gentile. What it was being born again. Made all the difference in the world. Jesus, I like that. Jesus made the difference. An account, an encounter with Jesus changes everything. I love that. That is right. That is so right. Goes right along with what I was talking about in Sunday school and even what I preached about this morning. An encounter with Jesus changes everything. If you didn't get a change, mark her down, you didn't get Christ. You got a counterfeit. That's right. That's right. All right. Well, I appreciate that. I'm going to have Brother Proctor and his family come stand up front, and they may need to go back there to their table. They got cards back there. They need to do that as well. My wife and I will stand up here. We'll come around, shake hands, and fellowship together. Again, let him know you appreciate the preaching of the Word of God. And let these young ladies know you appreciate their singing and playing as a blessing, and appreciate the family being with us here tonight. And so pray that God will bless them and use them for his glory and honor. Amen. And I'm excited about what he's doing, especially going out west. I talked to a young man. He's going to be with us in August. A young man just surrendered with Rock of Ages out of Tabernacle Baptist Church. I can't get his name. Yeah, rough fella. I mean, come up rough. He's a juvie. He has a real bad background as far as all that goes. But he's got a heart to take it west. That's part of his thing, you know, take the Rock of Ages, move it west. And so that's a blessing. Amen. And but he's going to probably beat him to it and get to those Spanish-speaking people. That'll be a blessing. Amen. All right. Anybody got a word on your heart before we dismiss? Something you need to say or do? Yes, ma'am. Amen. 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 Thank God for that. That's right. Every one of us. He could have gave up on us a long time ago. Like he said, if you've heard the gospel one time and you've not accepted it, you're a rebel. And we all have been there, by the way. I've never met very many. I might have met one person. I don't think I ever have met a single person that got saved the first time that God dealt with them about their soul. Usually it takes some working. Right. Usually it takes some working. Yes, sir. Amen. 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 Appreciate that. Amen, Zachary. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes, ma'am. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes, ma'am. Praise God for his goodness. Amen. Amen. Yes, ma'am. Praise the Lord. Appreciate that. Amen. Amen. Yes, ma'am. Amen. Amen. Yep. Amen. Amen. When I met him at Faith Baptist Camp a few years ago, and probably, more than likely, probably met you when he was in school there, to be honest with you, because that's when we used to be there a lot. But I remember Brother Gravely when he was in school, and was y'all in there around the same time? Okay, all right. Brother Gravely and Brother Sutherland, all them guys was in there in some of that same. Anyway, I wasn't in school there, but we was there a lot. But anyway, I met him a few years ago back at Faith Baptist Camp, and he came up to me telling me, and he said, "You probably heard of my dad, Rodney Proctor." I said, "Yeah, I've heard that name. Brother Hall tell that story a number of times." And over there in Rumsey, matter of fact, we've been by that building like you're talking about down there, and what a blessing. I love history and the fact that it's God's still using that today. What God did back there in those days, amen, he's still using those things for the glory of God today. And I'm excited to see what he's going to do in the days ahead. Amen. All right. Well, that's enough of my rambling. Yes, ma'am. Amen. 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 Yep, yep. Amen. Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. That's right. That's right. Amen. Yes, sir? Amen. Right.
I could have ended up worse off. I thank God that he worked with me for a number of years. Religion is the greatest truth that ever did.
Yep. Yep.
You can be separated and you can be condemned and all that.
Yep. Right. Right. Amen. Amen. That's right. That's right. Praise the Lord. Amen. 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 Yes, ma'am. Amen. That's right. That's right.
The power that we have in that, in just being able to give it to him. And you know, and it's such a blessing to be able to have that privilege of just handing it to him. It's
that's right.
For me. This is yours. The battle is yours. And to have that. And then when it whatever we're facing, whether it's a storm, whether it's Satan, he is everything that we need. And I'm Amen. Thankful for that. I'm thankful that I have that assurance that I don't have to go through life hoping that I have done enough, hoping that
right.
you know, always working and trying on my own to mm-hmm. do mm-hmm. what he's already done for me.
Yep. Amen. Amen.
I'm thankful for the truth, to be able to know that. So many people are in bondage you know, to a false religion, a false a cult, like mm-hmm. we were talking about this morning. They don't know the true story of the cross.
Right.
And I'm thankful that I was given the privilege of being able to grow up in the truth.
Amen.
And thankful for the exhortation to, you know, to go to others mm-hmm. and to be a witness and to let them know the freedom and the blessing that is in Christ, you know, to be able to share with others. I'm thankful for that too.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes. Amen. 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 I was looking past you because I didn't know where, praise the Lord, that's a good testimony. Amen. Unexplainable peace. That's what the Bible talks about. Unspeakable joy. Amen. Talks about knowing the height and the depth and all that, which is beyond knowledge. that's unspeakable peace. Amen. That's good. Amen. Amen. All right, let's bow our heads. We'll get them all to come up front. My wife as well, and we'll come around and shake hands, fellowship together a little bit. Let's pray and ask God to bless our travels tonight and bless and help everything that's going on all this week and use us for his glory this week also as well. All right. Brother Jacob, how about you dismissing us if you would?